So my free water?
Yeah, that's your water.
Oh, okay. Cool. Good evening, everyone. As you know, we've all been doing a series on the church that Jesus is building. And tonight we're going to focus on the church that Jesus is building is a servant-hearted church. Now, I know you're thinking, sure, this guy up there again talking about serving, but I really want you to understand the heart with which I'm coming from. I really feel that I have a heart for servanthood. I love serving. And I want you to, and I really truly pray that at the end of this message, you too will feel the love and the joy that I feel when I get to serve. Serving is not a duty. Serving is modeled in the Bible. And I truly feel that there's a spiritual component to serving. And it is an area that we can all grow in our spirituality in. So tonight I have titled this message, Choose That Which Is Greater. So in preparing for this, there are many great examples of servants that I could have used. Joshua, who served Moses through it all. David's mighty men, who served faithfully. And Paul, who served Jesus Christ as he spread the gospel. But none of them come close to the ultimate example of a servant in the Bible, and that is Jesus. Mark 10, verse 45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The two main passages I'm focusing on this evening is Philippians 2 and John 13. Philippians 2, verse 3 to 8 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." In preparation for this message, these verses really hit me so hard with a sense of gratitude for what Jesus did for me as a sinner. And I really pray that at the end of this message, you will feel that same level of gratitude towards him. Can I pray for us? Dear Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that you came as a servant to serve us all. Lord, Holy Spirit, we just ask you to come into this place right now. Soften hearts. Make hearts receptive to the words that you are sharing this evening. These are your words, your heart. We ask this in your beautiful name. Amen. So my first point is consider others greater than ourselves. Philippians 2 verse 3 tells us that we must value others above ourselves. We as humans are inherently selfish beings. We've all met a two-year-old, whether it's our own two-year-old or a friend's two-year-old, and we've seen how a two-year-old reacts to a toy. And there's this concept of mine. Now, when our boys were growing up, we had a little plaque, little ceramic thing that we had on the wall by the light switch to remind us every time we walked in and out of their rooms. And it said something like this: if I like it, it's mine. If I think I like it, it's mine. If it looks like mine, it's mine. Everything, everything, everything is mine. And this is something that the world teaches us growing up. We need to look out for ourselves and ourselves only. Me, myself, and I. But the church that Jesus is building, he is building a church that is unified, a church that is focused on humbly seeking the benefits of others before seeking our own ambitions. So practically, how does this look? Well, you come into the church and you see someone struggling with one of those coffee filters, you offer to help them out. Or consider coming to church 10 minutes early and asking the comm on duty if there's any more chairs you can pack out or if you can put out flags. Just offer to help. It looks like looking for the interests of others above ourselves. What are the needs of the body? Imagine if we all came here on a Sunday with the intention of laying down our lives for one another. Imagine if we each came here on a Sunday with the intention to try and outserve one another in love, not in competition. That is a servant-hearted church. So point one, consider others greater than yourselves. Point two, choice is greater than force. That's good water. Ephesians 4 tells us that Jesus is the head and that we are the body. As the head, Jesus is making the decisions and he is pointing us in the direction, the right direction, the direction towards God. So as the head, we need to understand his mindset. We need to understand his heart. Ephesians 2 verse 5 tells us, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. That seems simple enough, eh? Just tick, done. But it's not that easy. But what's really nice is that verse 6 and verse 7 tell us exactly how we can do that. Who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. So here, Jesus, being fully God, gave up his divinity. It wasn't taken from him. He wasn't forced to give it up. He chose to give up his equality with God and make himself human, make himself nothing, and come and humbly serve you and me, even though we don't deserve to be served at all. Taking on the nature of a servant is having a heart that is devoted to servanthood. A few weeks ago when I spoke on the 412, I mentioned the definition of devotion. Devotion is doing whatever it takes to be a part of an activity and to get the desired outcome. So do whatever it takes to have a servant heart. But like point two says, it needs to be a choice. You cannot be forced into it. So in order for it to be a choice, we have to have a mindset change. We need to change the way we see serving. Romans 12 verse 2 says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We need to renew our mind. We need to align our mind and our heart with that of God's. So when it comes to serving, you mustn't see it as an obligation that you are being forced into it. You need to see it as an opportunity or a privilege to serve. For example, the comm roster. The comm roster hasn't been set up to ensure that each and every one of you that are sitting here serves at least once a week and does something. That's not what the roster's there for. The roster is there to ensure that each and every one of you have the privilege to serve in God's house. When we serve, we need to remember who we are serving. We are serving the Lord Jesus Christ ultimately. And then we are serving one another. Christ is our ministry. We need to choose to serve Christ first and foremost. The different areas of ministry that we have are the vehicles that we can use in order to serve Christ and then serve one another. We need to choose to serve Christ and then choose the vehicle. For example, the group that stands in the front, the welcome group, they haven't been forced to be there. They have chosen to serve Christ, and they know that by just standing there, they have the opportunity to mirror just a little bit of Jesus and receive those guests with the same heart that Jesus would receive them. And that is something special. So point one, consider others greater than yourselves. Point two, choice is greater than force. And point three, character or servant-heartedness is greater than circumstance. John 13, verse 1 and 3 to 5 says, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. This first verse here tells us that Jesus knew his time had come. He knew exactly how he was going to die. Imagine knowing that you are going to be tortured, beaten, battered, spat on, crucified on a cross, and then finally put to death. Imagine knowing all of that and still, in that circumstance, choosing with your heart posture to humbly serve and take on the lowest position in that room. Regardless of the fact that Jesus knew how he was going to die, how much punishment he was going to receive, because he knew the circumstance he was in, his servant-heartedness overcame that circumstance, and he got up and washed the disciples' feet. We need to consider our circumstance. Is our circumstance greater than the character that God has called us to possess and to grow in? Is our circumstance, is what I am feeling right now, what my spouse is feeling right now, is that greater than the call that I have to serve and serve one another in love? Galatians 5 verse 13 says, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. We need to serve one another in love, but we need to serve with the right heart, a servant heart, a joyful heart. Which brings me to point four. Joy is greater than convenience. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says to us, because of the joy awaiting him, that is Jesus, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. This joy is referring to the joy that's awaiting him. It's future joy, not joy in the moment. Jesus knew the joy that he would receive by being back with God the Father. But more importantly, he knew what the outcome of his death and resurrection was going to be. He knew that the outcome was going to be a reunited, reconciled body to God. Jesus took on God's wrath and judgment, our judgment, my judgment, for being a sinner. He took it on so that we could be reunited with God. And because of that joy, because of the joy Jesus experienced knowing why he was doing it, he endured. Serving is not convenient. In fact, serving is sacrificial. Sometimes we have to give up things. We have to give up our Sunday afternoon naps. We have to give up watching the Grand Prix live, taping it, and not looking at your phone until you watch it. Sometimes we have to even come to church and clean. Some of us don't even like cleaning up after ourselves. and our underpants and socks are right next to the washing basket. But sometimes we have to come to church and we then have to clean up after someone else. That is inconvenient. But we need to understand the joy, the eternal joy that we will experience, what serving now will do. Consider the joy it gives God to see his sons and daughters serving each other sacrificially and in love. Because of this joy, even knowing that his time has come, Jesus got up and washed the feet of his disciples. He served humbly, sacrificially, and with love. My last point is, the master is greater than the servant. Just some context with regards to washing of the feet. Back then, the roads were gravel, most people wore sandals, and they traveled by animals. So instead of potholes, they had mounds that they needed to contend with. Most of the time, they were able to walk around them or walk over them, but sometimes, in the unfortunate incidents, they walked through them. So when you had people over to your house, when you had a function or a meal, the host would arrange for his servants to wash the feet of his guests when they arrived. In wealthy households, they would sometimes have more than one servant. So one servant to pour water over the feet, another one with a towel to dry the feet, a third one to actually wash the feet, and a fourth one to take off the sandals, those dirty mound-covered sandals. That position of that last servant was kept for the lowest of the servants. It was seen as a menial duty. So in knowing that he was fully God, is from God, and was going back to God, even knowing and experiencing the circumstance he was currently in, he chose to humble himself. He knew how he was going to die, but he felt the joy of knowing what that outcome was going to bring. And he chose to humble himself to the lowest position in that room and wash the feet of his members of his church. Jesus took off the disciples' sandals and washed their feet. John 13, verse 14 to 17, continues to say, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash each other's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Jesus is not saying here that he is Lord and that he deserves to be served. Jesus is saying that even though I am the Lord, I am giving you an example of how I would like you to serve one another. Serve one another humbly and in love. Please understand, Jesus is not saying that we need to now go and wash each other's feet. That is what was practical at the time. He used that as an example to show us the posture of our heart. What a posture of our heart needs to be while serving. So when we serve and we meet the practical needs of the body now, in this day and age, we need to do a heart check. We need to check, is my heart posture one of love, one of humility, one of sacrificial giving? When Jesus says, "truly, truly," I see this as the Hebrew version of mic drop imminent. Jesus says, "truly, truly," in other words, I hope you're listening, "a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Jesus is not saying, now that you know all of this, now that I've explained this to you, you will be blessed. Jesus is saying, now that I have given you an example of how you need to humbly serve one another in love, you need to now obediently go out and walk it out. Jesus is saying that you need to go out and serve one another in love, and then you will be blessed. Please understand, though, that Jesus is not saying, if you serve, you will be blessed. Jesus is saying, if you go and serve with the right heart, you will experience the blessing that it is to serve. It sounds back to front, it sounds upside down, but that's because we are living in an upside down world, and God's world is the right way around. Mish and I have a saying that we remind ourselves of daily: move from words to walk. Take the word, the Bible, the words you read, the words you hear, and the words you believe, and put them into action in your daily life. Don't leave them as words on a page. Move from words to walk. So to sum up, a servant-hearted church, what does it look like? It is one that considers others greater than itself. It is one that is willing to serve by choice, not force. Understands that character and steadfast servanthood is greater than my current circumstance. One that contends for joy over my convenience. And one that acknowledges through word and action that the servant is not greater than the master. Now that you know these things, now that you know how Jesus wants us to go out and serve him ultimately by serving one another humbly, with love, sacrificially, go out, be a blessing to the body, and experience the blessing that is serving. Can I pray for us? Lord, we thank you for this message. Lord, we thank you that you came as a servant. You humbled yourself, Lord. Lord, we ask you to soften hearts and help hearts resonate this message during the week, Lord. Help us to make a choice to serve others in love and not do it by compulsion. Lord, renew our minds and renew our hearts. Pull us from our comfort zones. Pull us from our circumstance. If there's anyone here who feels that they have been selfish and feels like they would like to repent, I would like to just give you the opportunity to come up and have a leader pray for you. As Roland said, it's best to come up and receive prayer. I also just want to give this as an opportunity. If this is the first time that you have recognized Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Jesus as your Master, who first came to serve and then to die for you, or maybe you've drifted away from the Lord, if you would like to just allow Jesus back into your heart, just want to ask you, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, to just raise your hand, just so we can acknowledge you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are the Most High and that you sacrificed everything for us, even though we are sinners. Lord, go before us. Work on our hearts.